So that's a song called Never Been to Spain. My name is Olav Tvedt. I've been to Spain a lot. I love it here. It's a nice city, good food, good people, great wine. I'm working in a company called Evry as a chief consultant, doing different infrastructure tasks and a lot of Windows configuring and tuning. I started with Elvis because I actually went down to Memphis and visited Graceland when I was in TechEd last 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. You shouldn't believe it, but actually Elvis is quite a high-tech dude. He was way ahead of in technologies, because I went on a trip where I was allowed in the back office and saw his desk. And this is our custom-made desk for Elvis that he ordered specially made by a certain producer and got the RCA to create the technology to make this desk. The cool thing with this desk is it actually has a radio, an 8-track, an 8-inch TV, and they have never ever made an 8-inch TV when they created this desk. And it had a calendar. Of course, it was a paper calendar, but it was much like the desks we actually use today. We have music, we have TV, we have calendars, and lots of different stuff. So this is Elvis's desk. I'm quite sure it would be hard to do configuration and tuning of that types of desk. Luckily, this is a few years ago, so it will be much better today. So this session is actually about configuring and tuning. So we will split it up. Before we start, I will just say something, because I will do a lot of demos. There will be a lot of different topics, so the question will be hard to answer during the session, but I will be able to answer your question later. And if you do have a good question, you will get a copy of the music I just played, signed by the band. If you don't have a question but like the music, I also have about 30 unsigned singles. So in the end, come down, get some music, and I will try to answer the questions. I will also be at the Ask the Expert booth at the Windows client table later tonight, where I'll be joined by this guy here, Sami. Sami is in here somewhere. He's the guy doing my favorite session from New Orleans. That was the Windows 8 Black Belt troubleshooting. So I can really recommend attending that session on Friday. Even though it's a late session, you will never regret going to it. It's a great session. So, back to the topic. I figured it out. Configuring and tuning is just a mission. We have a mission with the configuring and the tuning part, and the mission is quite easy. The mission is that I want to be happy. When I'm at work, I want to be happy. So we need to do something, because if we don't do our job configuring and tuning the computers of the users will start to call us and make us unhappy. And if they got really, really unhappy, they will start to complain to your boss. And your boss will call you and make you even more miserable. So the simple task is to get happy. So the mission is, how can we get happy? The goal to go there might be a bit harder because we have some challenges. And we are going to divide this up in different phases. We need to talk deployment. It will not be a large part, but we need to think deployment if we are thinking about tuning and optimizing and configuring, because it starts when we deploy. And after that, we are going to see how we can do the management phase by using group policies and different stuffs. and we will go over to the performance and tuning part. If time allow it, we will also see some quick views on desktop optimization pack, at least what it could do for us, what tool we can think to integrate in our management phase. So this is the agenda. So starting with the challenges. Challenges is different now than it was before. I have just a short slide on this because I figure out it. If you're going to talk about all the challenges, I will just talk about them and nothing else. But basically, we have a change of responsibility as the main part that we need to think about now. Because we have the traditional clients, and you can see I have put PC and tablets there. Because tablets, if they are Windows 8 Pro devices, then they are just another PC in our eyes as administrators. For the user, they have something nice to use, but for us, we just use the same thing that we would have used if it was a PC. We use group policies, system center for deployment of applications, and monitoring and operation manager if you have client monitoring, same antivirus and everything. But we also now need to take care of our mobile clients. Our mobile clients are tablets, of course, tablets that are not in our domain, tablets with different operating systems, and mobile devices of all kind. And we also have non-domain clients. So if we are going to have management of them, I'm not going deep into that because they have had session on this already and you can see the session later if you want to. But the thing we have learned now is that everything changes with 8.1 and server R2. So I have moved a lot of my previous slide because everything will change now with 8.1 and the R2 server. But we will still use System Center if we are going to have highly management. We can use Intune for easier management, or we will also use both of them when we are talking about mobile devices. We need to have Intune on the System Center Configuration Manager part as well. Something of the news that have appeared during the conference and the last conference in New Orleans was that they have done a lot of bring your own device. They have actually started to do bring your own device now because previous it was not bring your own device. It was just push your application out to any unsecured device that you don't know anything of. But it was too long to make an acronym out of it. Now with a new technology in R2 server and the technology is in 8.1, we will have the workplace join, we will have work folders, open MDM support so we can use other management tools that we already use today on our Windows client as well. And we can use mobile device management with stuff like Intune to have management over them. We also have the web application proxy that that's make it possible for us to send out our infrastructure services, like file services, to mobile devices. So they can, for instance, synchronize their files while outside of the building. And we can have two-factor authentication if we need security on it as well. So there have been a lot of changes in bring your own device. And they are now trying to get the management part. That's the main important thing to get on the right track is how should we manage all the devices. If you need some information, you should go to the Springboard web page, microsoft.com/springboard. I think it should be up here. Because it's already gone in and added Windows 8.1 preview and information. So you will see that they have already started to build up the cache of information about 8.1. You will find more and more videos, more links to more information, and guides as weeks and months pass by. So the Springboard page is actually a nice page to collect all kind of information Microsoft have on different parts of their network to one easy access place. You can see it's divided in explore, plan, deploy, manage, and support. That's make it much more easier for us to just figure out that, okay, we are now planning how to deploy. Let's go into the deploy page and we will find information about how we can deploy Windows 8 or 8.1. So the web page is built up with a good structure and a lot of great information, a lot of webcasts and white papers and everything you need. So then we go over to the deployment phase. We need to think deployment because that's the first chance we have to do something to the user's experience. It could be something easy like make sure that we can refuel the computer fast, because if the user get problems, he need to reinstall the computer or fix the problem. If we can make it easier to reinstall the computer and give him all his application every time, he will rather reinstall it than try to fix it. So think deployment as first part of your process. There have been sessions on this already. Johan Arvid Mark had built a perfect Windows 8 image session that you can go online and see. I think it's all already up, or else it will be very soon. And he covered all the master image technology, how you should create one image. You should never use the DVD and the image in the DVD because you need it to be patched. At least you need it to be patched. But we also have some other cool stuff that we are never thinking about, and that's the that when we get a Windows installation, we actually have three different OSs and images in there. We have the running Windows, we have the WinRE, and we have the refresh image. The refresh image is the image you use to refresh your computer when you get problems. The Windows RE is the troubleshooting image. So we should talk a little bit about them as well. So the master image, keep it updated and captured, created online every time you need it. Make sure it's automatically created so you can recreate it every now and then. I set up a solution for this at the customer about 8-9 months ago and told them, remember to recreate this image. You just need to turn on the virtual computer and it will create it for you, and then you just copy it in and it will work. It's little job for the customer, but he forgot to do it. So when I arrived a couple of weeks ago and we were going to deploy a computer, suddenly the deployment time was 1.5 hours because it needed to patch up 9 months of patches. We recreated the image, and then we used about 35 minutes to deploy the computer with Office and application and the last patches that wasn't in our last patching period. So you save a lot of time and frustration by making sure that you can recreate the image every now and then. In Configuration Manager, you can now automatically patch it, but it's an offline patching, so it just injects the patches with DSM, and then there will be a lot of patches that cannot be installed because they need to be installed, not injected. So you will most likely want to do this even in a Configuration Manager solution. Then on the master image, we need to start thinking about how the user should look at Windows when it starts, because the start screen is hard to change in Windows 8. You actually have to use either customize the start menu. That's, if you can see, Windows System Image Manager. Here we have the copy profile setting. We just turn on the copy profile setting, and it will automatically create a copy of the administrator user's start screen. So then we have the possibility to adjust the start screen and make sure that all users get the same start screen. There are two different ways we could do it in Windows 8 as well. We can actually use a command that will adjust all the icons the way we want it to be adjusted. It's also in the unattended file, and it's called start tiles unattended. And then you can set up to 24 tiles in groups, locations, and sort it out. So you can use that one as well. But the best thing is actually use the copy profile, because you have more control. Luckily, Windows 8.1 have arrived with different ways of doing it. I'm quite sure most of you were at the keynote this morning, and he stole my demo, so I'm a bit mad at him. But I think I will show it and explain a little bit more than what he did. These are the commands. First, we need just to go in and do a little changing here, because they have actually never talked to each other, the two guys doing import start layout and export start layout, because they managed to use part different in the command that do the same thing. So hopefully they will change it. But for now, it's export start layout dash part, but import is dash layout part. So somebody don't even talk during lunch to fix this. And we can use group policy locations to make sure that we do the same thing with a group policy, but it worked totally different. The first command we will always use, no matter what we are going to use, because we need to export the start screen. But if we use the import command, we actually just changed the local default user settings. So if it's a new user, he will get the setting you have chosen. The existing user will not get it. So then you need actually to delete the user profile and recreate the user profile if you want him to get the exported and imported start screen. If we use the group policy location setting, then we also lock it down so he cannot change it. So it depends on what you want to do. If you want to lock the user down, you use the group policy location. But if you want the user to be able to change it, you need to use the copy user profile command, like you did on 8, or you need to use the PowerShell commands for export and import. They will work on RT, yes, they should be working on RT, because we can use a local policy. So the setting is actually noted that it's for both of them. So you can just go in and have a quick look. This is a totally fresh installed computer, and I've never played with 8.2.1 before 1.5 hours ago, so let's hope everything works. No, this is not an RT, no. No. You cannot run RT on a Hyper-V, no. We use the export, start layout. Oh, sorry. Oh, button trouble there. And part, and this is the export, so then we use part. I'll take it on our server. That's the export command. It now actually just went in and created the file based on the settings I have here. I will do some changes so we can see that it have changed. Resize to small. New group. Stuff. Like that. Resize to large. And put the news in there. And add some other applications. Hit the start. Put it over here. Oh, that was the wrong application. Right. This. So, just run the command once more. If I now have done the import version, it would just have imported it into the default user on this computer. So the user already existed will never get this setup. But if it got the setup, it would actually be able to change it because it's not a group policy. It's just an import of a default view. So the user could change it. When I do this on a group policy, yeah, admin tools. See. I'm logged on as the wrong user. Here we have the group policy. Go into the start screen policy. It's a use policy. Administrative templates, start menu and taskbar. And you have the start screen layout. And you can see that it's supported on RT and Windows 8.1, but only the 8.1 RT version. So we can just enable it, point to DC1, config, start menu, sales, XML. That's everything you need to do to make sure that all your users have it. It's just like the keynote, so I'm not going to do that part. We also have some other news in here. See, that's the old prevent. We have also a prevent user from customizing the start screen. So we can do the same thing without using a group policy to lock down to one specified XML, but we can lock it to the default XML configuration file if we want to do it in that way. Only a funny thing about this one is if you look at what's supported, it's supported on at least Windows 2000, so there are still work in progress. Either they have to create a fix, so we have start screens on Windows 2000, or they will need to change the text in here. You will see when you're taking a look around the new policy settings, there will be a lot of policies that's supposed to do something, but they have not yet typed in what they will do or even what they will be able to. But you see Multimon, they will do something on Multimon, but it's not yet implemented. see. Yeah, that was the demonstration. The next thing is that we have the refresh image. The refresh image is the image that make all your application go away and just keep your store application and your user files and settings. But that's not completely true, because if you just remember to update your image, then you can actually refresh it with all the application you have installed on your computer. So when you refresh it, it will give all the application back. So I will do that quick in a demo. And by the way, you might have noticed that I'm also on my Windows 8.1 computer doing group policies in the on the domain, because the remote administration tools are already out for 8.1. The ADK is out, and MDT is now out in the new previews, so you can already now start to play around with the stuff you actually need to do management and deploy Windows on MDT. Rec image is the tool, and you can see it's quite easy tool. It's just show current, deregister, set current, and create image. So just to check out what's our current image, I just go in and type in show current. And there is no active custom recovery image on it right now. So that's okay, because this is a virtual machine. If it had to be an OEM computer, you would most likely have one, or you should have one. But I want to create one. So then we just create image. Oh, sorry, packed. Point to the path where you want to create it. Press Enter, and you will get the slide that I just had up in the slide deck, where it takes a snapshot, and then it will start creating a Vim file. The only thing you need to be aware of, it will take some time, because it creates a Vim file. If I go into my folder, I have been cheating already. So if I go into my folder, you can see I have one here. And it's 7 point something. And that also contains my Office application, Acrobat Reader, and everything else I need. So if I refresh my computer now, I will have all my application back and working. When you do the create image, it will automatically point to the created image. So it could be smart to just show current, figure out what's your current image is, so you can reset it to it later. But you just set current. Like that. Oh, I'm pointing to the wrong direction. Let's see. See if I... Yeah, I was supposed to use that rec image. It's freezing. There we go. Yeah. Then it's completed successfully. You can only have one image in one folder, but you can have several folders and change between them. So you can keep the old recovery image and create your new ones and test it out if it works, and you can also have a different version of it. So that will make it much more easier when your user are traveling, they need to restore the computer, but they also need the application working. This way we have everything we need. So that was image number two. We have the OS image running, and we have the refresh image. And then we also have the change WinRE image possibility, Windows Recovery Environment. We can do just about the same thing, but Windows Recovery image is maybe even more important, because that's the place we can put in troubleshooting tools, antiviruses, for instance. If we have a virus and we want to boot it up without the running Windows, we can start a Windows Recovery Environment and scan it. So we shall have a quick demo on that as well, but I will just talk about how we can get a great Windows RE. You have the diagnostic and recovery tool set that contain all these tools. If you have a software agreement, you can buy the add-on of MDOP, and then you will get the Dart package. The Dart package makes it possible for you to create a tool like this that can be boot up when you have trouble on your computer. You can boot it from the network, from a DVD, from a USB, but you can also replace the built-in Windows RE with this one. And that's what I'm supposed to do now. We have a command called reagent C, recovery agent creator. Here we can see it's just about same easy command lines. We have the info to get information. I need to make sure that I have a recovery image that I can use. So I have a one WinRE folder here. That's not the one. We have the custom WinRE folder here. The file is called boot.wim, and I need to rename it to WinRE. So just rename it like that. And that's because of restriction. It will only look for that image name, nothing else. So as long as we call it that, we can use our personally created Windows RE with tools from Bart PE or Ultimate Boot CD for Windows and stuff like that, or Killroad, or whatever tools you have that can run on Windows PE or Windows RE, you can put in your image now. So now when the user gets a problem, he just boot up and he suddenly have all these nice tools. So let's just get some information. And it's pointing to one already, and it's enabled. We need to disable it before we can change it. So just disable. And then we need to set the OS image part. Like that. And then we need to enable it again. Then it's enabled. If it fails here, you will most likely have forgotten to rename the file to WinRE. It's a boot.wim, it will not work. So the thing I'm going to do now is boot into that image. And that's actually just boot2RE as a parameter. And then it's just to restart the PC. Should go quite fast. I noticed during the installation of Windows 8.1 that it actually installs quite a bit faster. It starts faster. And even the welcome screen is much more faster. So when you start the profile the first time, everything is much faster. So that's a good news. Do you want to start network connectivity? Most likely we would have done it, because then we have the possibility to remote assist the user with the Dart tools, and we have the possibility to download updates for the antivirus or copy files over the network. I'm not going to do that now. We can select keyboards, just go for the US. And we have the troubleshoot, refresh, or reset your PC. We could now have refreshed it with the image I just selected, but I want to go into the Microsoft Diagnostic and Recovery toolset. And I want to link it to the Windows 8 installation that makes it possible for me to use the locksmith. You should actually remove the locksmith when you are going and giving it this for the user, because then they can reset the password. So you usually customize this to remove tools you don't want the user to have. And locksmith is one of those tools. But you can see we have the remote connection where we can actually just ask the user to press the remote connection, and then we can remote connect to the computer that doesn't work, and we can do the diagnostic for him. So that's a quite cool feature. If you go into stuff like computer management, you will notice that it takes a short while to boot it up, because it actually picks out the file from the OS itself that's not running now, but it will pick out everything for the event viewer. So you can go in and check out why it crashed, if it's in anything in the event viewer, and you also have the possibility to analyze crash dumps in this tool. So it's a nice way to troubleshoot. For ordinary users, they will most likely don't use most of these tools that much, but as long as we have the Defender to do antivirus, that's a good thing. We have the Solution Wizard to try stuff. And we have the remote connection. Since we don't have any network, we cannot have any remote connection. But if we had it, we could actually remote connect us and done the work for the user. The slides I'm just jumping over is just the command lines. They will be in the slide, and they will also be on my web page. There are posting from New Orleans containing most of the commands I went through on the sessions. Then we go over to the management phase, and we'll have a look at group policies. Group policies are an extremely powerful way of managing your computers. With that in mind, it's also important to take care of it the right way. It's not supposed to publish all your applications. That's why we have MDT, we have configuration manager and stuff like that. It's not a utility to publish application. You can use it, but then it's actually in very small environments. So make sure that you use it for what it's meant to be used for, and that's controlling your PCs, not installing on them. To get control over the group policies, we use our organization unit structures, we use group membership, we disable enable, and we can use loopback processing. But most people forget one of the most powerful and easiest way to have the basis covered, and that's WMI filtering, Windows Management Instrumentation filtering. By using VMI strings, we could actually make sure that a group policy will only run on the version you are supposed to run it on. I have put in a lot of slides with the base strings you might be needing, and that's stuff like Windows 8, Windows 7, 32-bit OS, 64-bit OS, only 32-bit Windows OS, and so on. This kind of queries we are doing on that level here will not affect the time the client used to boot up. It did so in the oldest versions of Windows, but in XP Service Pack something, it did some changes to how this works, and there are no speed affection that will cause your user to get worried. But if you do deep dive, we can go in and we can have a query on almost everything on the computer, and then you can suddenly discover that something will go slower. So make sure that you use the basics. Just show you one filtering and how we create them by going into my Windows 8 computer. Because I have installed the RSHAD tools. Here we have a lot of group policies. We have VMI filters. I have already created Windows 8.1. can edit that one so you can see the new version number. Let's see here. Oh, I haven't got the time to install Summit on that one, so we... Let's see. We can see the query is quite simple. You just steal what you need of the code and figure out how can we figure out if this is a Windows 8 or 8.1 computer. You can see that it have... I was a bit disappointed, actually, because they have changed the version numbers a lot, because it was Windows 7 was 6.1, and 6 plus 1 is 7, and 8 was 6.2, and that's 8, but now it's 6.3, and that's 9, so now I cannot do it that way anymore. So, but that's the new way of figuring it out. If you want to check out what's the version number, we can do a WMIC OS get version. You will find this in my blog posts. And that tells me that the version is 6.3-9343. That's the reason why I can use 6.3 and just parameter, so I will be make sure that this will work on all 8.1 versions. I could actually now create it on just the preview if I want to make sure that my test policy will not affect the next version, because they can have done something that will do something you don't want, and then I just had typed in the entire name. That was .9431, and then it will only work on the preview versions. I have used this policy with the 8.1 VMI filter on the common settings for Windows 8.1, and that's actually just a setting to give me some feedback when I'm logging into the computer. So if I just go out, let's see. Restart it. There's the new fish. And this is what I have done, just to make sure that I can prove that my VMI filter is actually working. It will have been a different message on the Windows 8. So this is not something you should do, but it just show that the VMI filtering actually makes sure that this only shows up on Windows 8.1, not Windows 8, not Windows 7. So if I want to run anything that will be specified to either servers, computers, or version of the operating system, I will always make sure that I filter it with these kind of filters. Group policies have been around for a long time, and we just went in and see some new policies. We will most likely go in here and disable the possibility of using the store. And we have some different Windows 8 settings we can add. We will use different tools a little bit later, advanced group policy management. So I will save something for them. I have a short mission, and that's to prove. Not to prove, but make people be more aware of the local administrator on PCs. So I'm going to do a quick demo on how we can change the policies on all computers so we have a decent password policy on all computers in our network. So this is something you can do today, even if you are running Windows XP. You can do the setting we are going to go in, and we went into the wrong one again. Because most company, they set the default password and they forget it. They use the same password on all PC, or they just use some random and they never remember what it is. So either you have a crappy password on all computers or you have something that nobody remembers. And it's quite easy to create a policy that just changes this. It's called preferences, and you do it on the computer. Go into preferences. You have local users and groups, and here I already created some, but I will recreate some new ones. New. First thing I will do is make a new user, and then we create a user called Olav Admin, because all computers should have Olav Admin, right? We give it a password. Don't need to change password. Password never expires because we are going to change it regularly with our group policy. And apply on that one. Next thing we are going to do is change the local groups. So we go into update, group name. Administrators. We can rename it if we want to, but we just want to add Olav Admin like that. And we can also delete all other users in that group, but then we need to make sure that we have added all users that should be in there, like domain admins and IT department maybe. So this is an easy way to update who's allowed admin access, and also have a local user that you can give out to the user when they call you and say, I need admin rights because I'm sitting here and I need to install a printer and it's not online and we need to fix this now. Okay, the password is 1234. And when you have told the user that one, you just go in and you change it. So the next recycle of group policies, it will be a new password. So it's easy to update it when you have given it out to the users. And it's also easy to make sure that different departments have different passwords. So you cannot use a password on all PC, but you can use it for some. You can even use stuff like item level targeting in here and go for security groups, sites, and so on. Or my favorite, let's kick it up to the CPU speed. So if you call me for the password, I need to know the speed on your CPU to make sure that you get the right password. Isn't that a good idea? Yeah. So we can do a lot of strange stuff in here. Let's talk about performance and tuning. There have been a lot of changes. The changes to Windows 8.1 is not covered here, but I think they just have gone farther in doing the same. But they have reduced the install time, which is nice, and I have verified today that the install time of 8.1 is even lower than 8. They have reduced the boot time, and that's also true in the 8.1. And there are fewer running services now than it was previous. So they have done a lot to make it better. They have also set the way that services start on a different way, because we now have the trigger start. The trigger start make it possible for applications to start the service when they need it in a much quicker way, and makes it easier to have non-running services all the time just because you might start a service. So that will also make sure that we are running less services now than we did previously. The first thing we need to figure out when we are going to tune is to measure performance. There's no point of running performance tuning if we don't know where the problem is. and most people will have a hard time figuring out what they should start to tune. But if you download the assessment and deployment kit, you will actually get a free tool that will do this for you. Let's just go into my PC here. It should be. Here we have the assessment console. I just installed the component from the ADK kit, and the ADK kit are available for 8.1 already in a preview, and you have the Windows 8.1, of course. Here you can figure out that we have some hardware performance trouble. Okay, we can go in and run a test that will go for 1 hour and 20 minutes, maybe a little less because you might have better hardware, but that will check your memory footprint, your WinSet comprehensive, and the file handling. You might have browsing and Windows user interface experience problem, media experience, startup and shutdown experience problems. And then we can just analyze everything in there. Just select what you want and run the test. You might also configure it when you can configure it. You also can run some of the tests instead of running everything. You just know that the only thing you need is the file handling or the driver verification. Driver verification takes a couple of minutes to run. And you know it's most likely a driver-based problem, so then we just select driver verification. I have done that on my computer, and I got these warnings. See that it's the right. Yeah, this is the driver verification problem. After running the test, a couple of minutes, I actually went in and saw that I had two different issues. Now it's one that's to the WAN mini port, code 31. That's not a problem at all, because that just doesn't mean that it doesn't have any driver. I haven't installed the driver yet for that device. And that was by design, because then I knew I would get some errors when I run it. What surprised me was that I actually got the problem code 43. And that means that if you want to know what it means, you can actually cheat and just press the Microsoft problem codes, and it will go straight to a web page with all the codes. So the tool is so great that you almost don't have to think anymore. And that's nice, because then you can be happy and relax, right? Error codes, 43. Windows has stopped this device because it have a reported problem. That actually means that it tries to start the driver and something goes wrong and it goes down. So it's either a hardware problem or it's a driver problem, most likely a driver problem. So, but then I actually know that I know I have a real problem on my computer. You can do the analyze of lots of different stuff here. My friend Sammy, doing the black belt troubleshooting on Friday that you should really attend to. He actually sent me a picture of the result he got troubleshooting slow computers log on or reboots. We can see here the before and after picture. This is the log on period, and we see that it used 4 seconds just logging on. He figured out that it was a bad group policy, and the way he did that was deep diving a bit into the solution here and figure out it was group policy that took a long time. And then he went in to some place people always forget. Event logs. Because the event logs have changed quite a lot. So when we go into the Windows logs, we have the default logs that we know and love, but we also have application and service log. And if you go into Microsoft Windows, you will find a group policy operational. And in there you will find a lot of the reason for your trouble. The reason here is only I'm not connected now, so it's not a problem for me. But you will find, he find the name of the group policy that took long time. Just did some couple of changes on the group policy, and it was up and running. And he shaved off 2 seconds of the boot time. And 2 seconds might not sound like a whole lot, but it actually, it will be 2 seconds every time every user, and you will have more of those most likely. So you can find bigger spendings just by looking more into it. So you get a result that you can go in and see if your computer are doing nice or if you have some problems. If you have some problem, it will also recommend you how to solve the problems. I have some errors just running this one because I have had some memory settings that's wrong, and it tells me how to fix it. So the tuning goes down to basically ordinary hardware stuff. Is your hardware good enough? Is Windows optimized to run on your hardware? Do you have services that you should disable? There are lists on the shortcut down here to Black Viper's webpage, where he goes through every Windows service he have tested out to see if it can be disabled. But the list of services that you need to disable are now much smaller than it was on Windows 7 and at least XP. We also have to think about disk defragmentation if you are running something else than an SSD disk. We need to think about the page file. There will always be a question, do we need a page file or don't we need a page file? Some applications actually write to the page file directly. And if you don't have a page file, then you will get a lot of problem. But if you don't use those applications, then it might be OK. I prefer to actually just go in and set the page file size myself to be just 2 gigs, 1 gigs, or something like that, and with a fixed size. Because a fixed size will make the disk not fragment the page file. So a fixed size and small page file should be enough for most people. You can also remember to set the power options, and we have the performance settings. It's easy to forget them, and we are now going into a new demonstration quite soon, but let's do it anyway. Go back to our... Windows 8 computer, 8.1 computer. This is where it have always been, but it's nice to know about them. We can set the adjust for best appearance, adjust for best performance, or custom. What people are not aware of is that this is actually something we can do in a group policy. There's not a built-in group policy for it, but we can just create a registry setting. So let's do that. Let's find my... Just going in and do a registry item. We could take a registry wizard if we wanted to pick it out from the computer, but I want to be able to change it, so I do a registry item. And it's in the HK current user. Because it's a user changing policy, we need to do it on the user level, not the computer, because we should think it was a computer stuff, but it's set on every user. So we go into software, Windows, current version. Oh, I went into the wrong place here. Let's see. User. Software, Microsoft. Windows. current version. Explorer and visual effects. Oh, they have done some changes in 8.1, so we cannot see it. But we, you should find a value in there, and you can set the value to 1 that lets the Windows decide what's best. Zero for let Windows decide what's best. 1 for best appearance, 2 for best performance, and 3 for custom. The value you should that should have been in there is visual effects settings, and it's obviously not in 8.1, so should have gone for the Windows 8 demos after all. But it's quite easy. Set it, create it if it's missing, but I guess it will be created if I have gone in and done the changes, and then it will have created the setting for me. The same thing we can do with all the policies. We can go in and change policies for services that we want to stop. We can create a VMI filtering that actually only put this in effect on computers that have a certain amount of memory. So we make sure that the best performance is not set on the good computers, because then you will have Windows decide it. But if you know that it's only 1 gig or 2 gig of memory, you will most likely want to have a bit of control over it. Let's spend some time talking about the desktop optimization packs. The desktop optimization pack is for software assurance users. That makes it possible to take advantage of this tool called MDOP that contains 3 different tools for directly managing what we have been talking about. We have the advanced group policy management that makes it possible to adjust the user group policy user settings. We have the user experience virtualization, and we have the app we for desktops that makes it possible for us to push out application fast to all the users. And we also have the diagnostic and recovery toolset that make it possible for us to have creating a nice Windows RE to troubleshoot when the user get problems. They have announced today that some of them will come in new version. The user experience virtualization will be in version 2. The entire desktop optimization pack will come in a 8.1 version. Somewhere along the time frame that the Windows 8.1 will be around. Advanced group policy management is a tool that give you much more control over group policies. I can just show you. Here's my domain controller. I have installed advanced group policy on it. So it runs a server service. And the only thing you can see have changed is the change control. It doesn't add any new management tools. It just add one folder in the existing solution. And we have the change control. In change control, we have the possibility to delegate who will be able to change policies but not approve them. So you can take a policy, edit it, and then I need to approve it before you push it out. You can be the one that approves them and pushes them out. So you can have a much better control over this. And you will also set up a notification that when somebody have done changes to a group policy, you get an email, then you go log on, and you go in, and you approve the policy. You will have a pending view of all unapproved policies that somebody have done something to. We have all the control policy in here. I can actually right-click one of them and check it out, so I cannot edit them online. And that's one of the best features, because there are so many times when you go in, do a change, and everything stops working. So it's a good way to just check it out. Comment why. Changes. Like that. And if this had been my client computer, I could actually now go home with the group policy on my laptop, done the changes, come back to the office, and checked it in again. And that's a nice thing as well, because then you can do it whenever you want without having to be online. There will also be version history here. You can see on the backside here that it have changes, change date, computer versions, user versions, so what have been changing. VMI filters connected to it. And you also have the recycle bin. So if you are stupid and delete a group policy that you shouldn't have deleted, you will have it here, because there are no backups of your group policy if you don't go in and create a script to do it. Your backup software will never take backup of your group policies. So it's nice to have a recycle bin here. You can also use templates, like I did with the common template. When I created the 8.1 policy, I just used the common templates, so it was much faster to me to get it up and running. When I have approved, first I need to check in. Check in. Don't change this to win 8.1. But still, when I have checked it in, it will not be effective. I need to deploy it before it will be effective. So you don't get the accident you stumble in every now and then by doing changes you shouldn't have done. Take some time. Remember the CDs, right? Music, Magical Era, nice Norwegian band. The next big aha, right? So you can have a signed CD of the next one. We right-click here, and we just deploy. But we see we have more tools here as well. We can deploy, we can import, we could export, and we can save as template. So it's much more easier to get a good structure, because when we are dealing with group policies, we see too many of them out there now. Too many and too bad written. We need them to be strict, tight, and done when you need them, not when just for fun. I was at a customer site that had nearly 1,700 lines in the logon script. They didn't know what it did at all, but they have 1,700 lines and nobody dared to change anything. And then we just started to rebuild an organization unit structure and started to put computer in there. And then we started to do what we knew needed to be done with group policies. And we ended up with seven group policies and about, I think it was below 20 lines of scripting that we needed to keep, of 700 lines. You can imagine what that will do to your logon time. So keep it straight, collect what's logical to have in one group policy. Don't do application deployment. You can do it if you're a small company, but are you a big company, you should have an application doing that for you. We have the Microsoft User Experience Virtualization that's now available in beta in version 2. 2.0, and looking forward to have a look at that one. It's quite a simple technology because it's actually just create a setting location template. The setting location template just contain your registry settings and file settings that you need to monitor of an application. So there are a lot of built-in Windows features in here. But if you are missing an application, you can just create the setting location templates yourself. I will create one quite soon. And then you have the setting storage location. That's a file server that the user need to be able to reach. So if you do any changes on one computer to Notepad, Internet Explorer, default Windows settings, you will soon discover that next time you log on to a new computer, you will get everything on that computer as well. You can see that font size have changed and so on. Just take a look what's behind the technology. And we have my home folder, and I have showing hidden files. So the setting packages can be redirected either to a file share or to the user's home directory as stated in user's values in Active Directory. Going in here, we will see that my user actually get Acrobat reader setting, desktop setting, Foxit reader settings, Internet Explorer, Notepad, and different types of settings. These settings are either in the agent itself or you create them. I should just start one of my clients and we can go in and have a look on how we create it. We have the tool here, user experience virtualization generator. It's actually no server software running here at all. It's just file shares and a generator to create XML files, so it will know what to look for. I'm going to create a settings location template. File path should be my Foxit reader. Open. And it's a command line argument if you need one. I don't need one. Press next. And it just tells me when the Foxit reader file have started, I should just close it. So let's close the application. It do some thinking, and it figure out, OK, the application went into these places to get settings. So those are the places it need to keep an eye for. So next, figure out that it was in software. The files were in user settings, app data roaming area. And we go to next. And we can give it a name. We can add registry setting if we figure out that, yeah, but this one is missing that part that it will look into a bit later when the application actually are getting used. So if you have a complex application, you will figure out that it's not enough just to start and stop it. You need it to make sure that it discover all the other places. So then we could just new and add the registry key, and it will monitor it for us. Same thing with files. If there are some files that should be added, we press create, call it Foxit Reader 6. And it's just a XML file with extremely large view because I have actually done font changing to prove that it works like that. So it's plain XML file. We can go in and do editing, for instance, in Word version number, or we can just reopen it in the generator and go in and do the changes. So it's quite easy to create your own templates. So even though it's a new technology, it's out now in version 2, it's actually working quite well because it's so simple. It's not demanding on anything. It's not a server component running. It just pick up a file. When you have picked up this file, you just check your home area if you have settings. If you have settings, you take them with you. So that was actually the end. But remember, you're supporting the users. Don't use the old Norwegian way of supporting your users. Don't use the axe. You need to make sure that you search for clues. You need to know that users are used to the pain, so they don't tell it to you because they know it's just a crappy system. Now, it might not be a crappy system. It might be a little bug or a little tuning, and it will be a great system. So you need to check for the clues, talk to the users, and fix it as fast as you can. So remember the mission. Happiness, right? Remember Spring Boatside. There are books you can get to learn more about this. And I will now be available for question up here. I will be at ask the expert booth tonight, along with Sammy, the black belt guy. So if you have troubleshooting question, if you have a question related to what I have been talking about, so make sure you come down and talk to me either now or both of us later today. Evaluation is very important. If I'm supposed to come back here another time, I need good evaluation. And I hope you will give comments as well, because comment is the thing that I can learn from. So thank you very much.